may be seated. That's a good song. How many times we sing that? That last verse. Oh, that's wonderful. In thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end. Sure. Our maker, defender, redeemer, and friend. That's a great song. My favorite. All right. Let's turn to Matthew 12. Keep 1 Kings 10. That will be our text where we will dwell. But Matthew 12, I want to read this again. This is how this whole series of messages started. And this is why the stories of Solomon were written, recorded. This is why Solomon was born and lived and reigned and ruled. This is why it all happened as a picture of the greater than Solomon. Our Lord's the one that said that. In Matthew 12, verse 42, he said, the queen of the south, speaking of the woman from Sheba, the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. A greater than Solomon is here. The Lord Himself said that. He said, this woman will condemn all in the judgment who have no interest in Jesus Christ. All who sought Him not, who sought not His wisdom. All who saw no beauty in Him, that they should desire Him. It says the Queen of Sheba will be standing there, condemning all who sought not Christ to hear His wisdom. She came from the uttermost parts of the earth. First thing I want you to notice, 1 Kings 10. This woman was a real seeker. That's what our Lord said. She came from the uttermost parts of the earth. She was from Sheba. Do you know how far Sheba was from Jerusalem? 1,500 miles. In a camel caravan. Do you know how long it took her to get there? Like going from here to Miami, Florida at about 4 miles an hour. She was a seeker, wasn't she? She wanted to hear of Solomon. The Lord says, seek me, you shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. A true seeker. It says she heard of the fame of Solomon. Read this, verse 1. I never noticed this before. Concerning the name of the Lord. In other words, it wasn't just Solomon or so much Solomon that she came to hear about, but it was Solomon's Lord. Because that's who Solomon wrote about. That's who Solomon talked about. I made the observation to some of our people after Wednesday night's message. Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple, where he had all of Israel before him, the whole country gathered together to hear Solomon, their ruler, speak to them. What did he speak of? Not the state of the Union, the state of their hearts. He said, we all have a plague in our heart. And he talked about the great God and how everything, this whole country and everything was going to be dedicated to this God and how that men should worship and thank and praise and serve this God. That's who Solomon, the leader, talked about. And I thought, and some of us talked about it, what would it be like to have such a leader as this, a man in, as the president of our country, in his inaugural address, stand up and say, "We're going to worship God, every one of us. We're going to worship the true and living God. We're going to worship Him in Jesus Christ." What would that be like? That's the way it was. Unimaginable, isn't it? Unimaginable. So everyone heard, when they heard of Solomon, they heard of Solomon's God. You understand? When they heard of Solomon, they heard of Solomon's Lord. Because that's who he talked about all the time. The name of the Lord. They heard of the great God of Solomon, the holy, sovereign God of glory. And Solomon represented and spoke of the living and true God. Now, Solomon represents the Lord Jesus Christ here. And all those who will know God will learn of Him through Jesus Christ. So this woman came. She'd heard of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. And all who seek to know God are going to hear about Him through and of and in the person of Jesus Christ. He hath declared Him. He's the only one. Jesus Christ is the only one who truly declares the true God. The only one. The only one we're going to hear of the true God from. He hath declared Him. All right, it says she came to prove Him with hard questions, doesn't it? This doesn't mean that she so much that she came to put Him to the test. Doesn't mean that so much because Solomon was the greatest king on earth. He's not going to allow some woman, some petty king, queen, to test Him. You know that. You know that He's not going to allow some high and mighty woman who thinks she's something to come in there and put Him to the test. Why, He wouldn't put up with that. But yet, her proving Him, well, she came with hard questions. You know, there's nothing wrong with hard questions. Nothing wrong with hard questions. I wish people would ask some hard questions rather than stupid questions. Silly questions. Endless genealogies and so forth, the Scripture talks about. Foolish questions and endless genealogies. Hard questions, scriptural questions such as, who is God? What is God like? How can God be just and justify the ungodly? If God does love everybody, why? I wish people would ask some hard questions. You know what? They weren't hard for Solomon to answer. Oh no. They're all plain to him that understandeth. They're all plain. These questions I just asked are hard and, yea, impossible to understand by man. But not to him that understandeth. Not to him that findeth knowledge. I wish people would ask some hard questions. I was talking to a young man after Wednesday night service, and he said, you know, when I first heard this, I went home and got my Bible out and started reading it. That's good. Boy, I like that. That's being more noble. That's being like the Bereans who heard the apostles and said, we're going to see if what you're saying is so from God's Word. We're not going to take your word for it. We're going to see if that's what God's Word said. I wish people would do that. People read the Scriptures. Nothing wrong with hard questions, good questions. So this queen came, and you know she didn't come with a haughty spirit, or Solomon wouldn't have. Obviously, she wanted to learn. Obviously, she wanted to learn. She came to hear his wisdom, the wisdom of Solomon. Our Lord said this. Now, here's what He said. to this man will I look, to this person I'll look. This is the person I'm going to look to and answer and talk to. To him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Trembles at my word. God does not prove himself to people that say, well, I'm not going to believe it till he proves it. No, sir. That's the reason I believe that Solomon did not, that Sheba came with a better attitude. Because she heard of him. She heard of him. All right, it says she came to a great distance. Our Lord said from the ends of the earth. So she's a truth seeker. It was a difficult trip, to say the least. Right? 1,500 miles. 1,500 miles to hear a man? What man would you travel 1,500 miles to see? Huh? Can you think of anybody that you would travel right now 1,500 miles to go see you? Anybody? I can't. Unless maybe that's where my pastor was located permanently. And there are some wise men who folks would do well to sell out and go where they are. But she came to hear a man. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Many people won't travel 30 minutes, 15 minutes in an air-conditioned automobile to come and hear of Christ. She was a truth seeker, wasn't she? No doubt in her resolve to hear the truth. Is she going to hear it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's going to get more than she came for. Yes, sir. It was difficult for her. She was a queen. She had many responsibilities, didn't she? Huh? A queen. A queen just can't leave her country. I mean, a real reigning queen whom the whole kingdom looked to, queendom looks to, just thought of that. She can't leave her country. She's got responsibilities. She's got great many things to do. How can she leave her country? She did. Why? There's somebody more important. See, this is a true seeker. A true seeker. Our Lord spoke of a king making a marriage for his son. It says that many gave excuses. See, but one by one they began to make excuses. Well, I bought me a piece of land. I got some ground. I got to see about it. How much ground did Queen of Sheba have? I've married me a wife. My wife, she likes to go down here, and I can't go. Oh, greater than Solomon. You go hear a two-bit scribe and not come to hear a greater than Solomon? So she was a woman. A woman. Queens were doted on and waited on and were delicate ladies back then. They weren't hardy women, pioneer women. They were delicate ladies. She was a woman, and the difficulties for her to travel 1,500 miles were extreme. You know that? She was in peril. A woman? That didn't deter her from coming to hear Solomon. Neither will it deter a woman, no matter if her husband is interested, no matter what. If she hears of a greater than Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she'll come. She'll come. She was a stranger. She was Arabic. She was a stranger. She had no part or lot in Israel. She had no promise that Solomon didn't send her an invitation. She had no promise, Dan, of receiving an audience from him. You know that? Just because she's the Queen of Sheba, big deal. What's that mean to Solomon? Sheba? He probably thought, where's that? Is that one of my kingdoms? Well, if it's not, I'll take it. I'll buy it. Sheba? Who's this coming? The noble Sheba's here. Who? Sheba demands an audience of you.
Just wait a minute.
Nobody demands an audience of me. See, this king is not obligated to receive her. She came on a venture. See that? She came on a venture. I've got to see Solomon. He may not see me, but I sure want to see him. See that? She's a true seeker. No promise of meeting the king. So she came. Verse 2. She came. Chapter 10, verse 2. She came to Jerusalem with a very great train, camels that bear spices, very much gold, precious stones. In other words, she brought a lot with her. She had a lot to offer Solomon. Oh, she's going to do something for Solomon, Rob. She's going to bring something to Solomon. She has something Solomon needs. You've never seen Solomon, have you? What are you going to bring to Solomon? Pocket change? It's funny. Oh, yeah. Solomon needed her. Isn't that funny? Oh, Solomon didn't need her, didn't need her gold. And we're going to see when she finally saw him, she thought. She looked at what she brought. Well, she came. Verse 2. And it says she was come to Solomon. Where'd she come? Why was she coming? To see Israel? To see the Holy Land? Huh? Did she want to see the Holy Land? No, no. She came to Solomon. Those that come to Christ are going to hear from Christ. Those that come to Christ are going to see His beauty. Those that come to Christ are going to hear His wisdom. Those that come to Christ are going to go their way exceedingly rich. And it says she communed with Him of all that was in her heart. I like this. If you just hang on. She communed with Him of all that was in her heart. This is why I believe she came in a good attitude and spirit. This is the only way you can approach God. She came and communed to Him from the heart. She came bearing gifts, yeah. But she came wanting to pour out her heart to Solomon. She wanted questions, answers. She needed answers. So she poured out her heart to him. And it says in verse 3, I like this. Verse 3, Solomon told her all her questions. There was nothing hid. Verse 3, there was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And matter of fact, Brother Roy, I believe he probably brought up some questions she didn't think to ask. I believe he exposed some things from her heart that she had not yet considered. Solomon said this himself over in chapter 9. Do you remember? He said, the Lord knoweth the hearts of all men. And those who come to Christ must come to Him bearing their hearts. They come naked. The scripture said, bearing their hearts, coming to Christ. You bear your sin, your iniquity, your guilt. You bear your soul to Him. Why not? Might as well. He knows it anyway. Just pouring out your heart, your soul unto Christ. You tell Christ your sin. He knows it anyway. He knows it all is not... He knows it. Tell Christ your sin. You know what He'll tell you of? His righteousness. Solomon answered everything she asked. You tell Christ your sin. Everything we bring to Christ and tell Christ of and confess to Christ, He's got an answer for it. Tell Him of your great sin. He'll tell you His great righteousness. Tell Him of your guilt, your horrible guilt. He'll tell you of His great blood shed for the remission of such guilt. Tell Him of your weakness. Oh, but I'm helpless. I'm hopeless. I can't do anything. I can't be righteous. I can't quit sinning. I can't. He'll tell you of His strength.
His power.
Tell Christ of your ignorance. I don't know anything. I don't know anything about the Bible. He'll tell you, I know all things. I'm wisdom itself. I'll be made unto you wisdom. Tell him of your ignorance and he'll tell you how that by my knowledge I'll justify you. You don't need to know everything. You need to be known by me. Tell Christ of all. Tell him all. Come to Christ and tell him all. He'll tell you that he's all and in all. Tell Christ of your insufficiency. He'll tell you of his sufficiency. Tell Christ of your utter, absolute, abject, you're an abject failure. He'll tell you he's an absolute success. Tell Christ of your dissatisfaction with this world. He'll tell you that you're complete in him. Tell Christ of your debt. Don't you love that over in 1 Samuel 22, John says, where all them that were in debt, in distress, and discontented came to David, and he became captain over them. Everybody in debt, everybody in distress, everybody discontented came to David, and he took them. And he assumed their debts. He relieved their discontent. They were happy just to be in his... They were still in a cave, but they were happy with David. They were in distress, but now they had a captain. I love that. That's my favorite passage. Tell Christ you're all, and he'll tell you, I'm your all, and in all. Look at what the queen saw when she came. Look what she saw when she came. Verse 4, when the queen of Sheba has seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he built. What she came to Solomon, and what she saw was his wisdom. She saw his person. You see that? It's the first thing she saw was the person of Solomon. His wisdom. She saw in him true wisdom. And she saw the house that he built, his work. She saw his person, and she saw his work. When you see Christ, if you ever see Christ, you'll see the glory of God in His face. You'll see the power of God. You'll see the wisdom of God, the righteousness of God, the salvation of God. Yes, you will. You'll see in Him glory. You'll see glory in Him. And you'll see the house He built. The house Christ built, what's that? That's the church. The house that Christ built is His church. You know, listen to me. Really seeing. If you stop and think about it. Stop and think about the church. God's true people. Talking about the people. It's an amazing thing. You know that? It's an amazing thing. Like that house of Solomon. It was all manner of things brought together to create this beautiful house in which the king dwelt, in which the Lord was worshipped. And the church of Christ is an amazing thing. All those people, persons from every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue under heaven, brought together to be God's house, the place where He dwells and where He's worshipped. It's an amazing thing. You know that? The church. The true church. It's a diversity of people. Brother Todd Nybert was telling me, he was just out in California recently. And California, as you know, is very diverse. It's like Mars. Really. Another planet. But it's full of ethnic different. And Brother Todd said that, he said, you know, the congregation was about 25% white, 25% black, 25% Hispanic, and about 25% Asian and Indian. He said it was wonderful. It was just wonderful. And the church of God is an amazing thing. You know that?
I wish you could meet God's people down in Mexico.
Oh, I wish you could meet them. I wish you could sit in one of those services just for 20 minutes. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to sit in the backyard and hear a language you don't understand, but you understand every word of it. In la cruz, in la cruz, donde vive, donde vive, en la mancha de mi alma, yo la ve. He ahí volve a mí, a Jesús, y siempre feliz con ser seré. You understood that completely, didn't you? Huh? At the cross where I first saw the light. It's marvelous, it's wonderful. Same thing down in Dominica and African places. God, Christ Church, His work, it's His work. He's the only one that can bring together all these people in different places. And in His church, you'll see the character of Christ. All the character of Christ, you'll see His love, His mercy, His grace, His goodness, His generosity, His fellowship. It's the true church, what I'm trying to say. The house that Christ built is an amazing thing. It really is. These religious houses are all fooey on there. But the church is an amazing place. It's just an amazing thing. It's amazing that I'm a part of it. Brother Kelly, it's amazing that you and I are here this morning. You know what? It's amazing. You and I ought to be running the streets. Here we are. Because the Master subdued us. Put the yoke on us. And this is where we want to be now. That's what's amazing. This is where we want to be. Made willing. Where we'd rather be. Rather not be anywhere else. That's an amazing thing. Amazing thing. In verse 5 it says, she saw the meat of His table. The meat of His table. Do you remember that? Do you remember that thing? Every day. Every day. 100,000 sheep and 10,000 oxen. Every day. Not counting pheasants and deer and elk and fish and turtles or whatever, anybody, huh? 9 tons of flour, 19 tons of meal, fruit by the wagon loads. Solomon, she saw Solomon's table. First thing she saw was Solomon, his wisdom. Poured out her heart to him. She looked around. Saw the house he built, his church. Oh, it took an amazing man to do this. A wise man to build this. A glorious man. A man unlike any other. And then it's time to eat. It's time to eat. And he brought her into the table. I've never seen food like this. I'm a queen. I thought I was eating before. I thought I had good things. Look at this. What do you want, Sheba? What? Want it all. We ate somewhere yesterday. At least ten courses. Various things. 2 desserts. I ate it all. John, you'd have loved it. I ate it all. Everything she put in front of me, I ate it. I've never been so full of my life. But it's wonderful. It was too beautiful. The table she spread. Solomon's table. And here's the picture. Those, a true seeker. A true seeker. A person really seeking the truth. I mean, not some nominal churchgoer, a person really seeking the truth will come to where the gospel is, where God opens His word, and you'll say, I've never seen such things in all my life. All I ever knew was John 3:16 or
Ruth, her, what she did for Naomi. I said, that's all I ever heard. Oh, the Lord opens up a veritable smorgasbord of things. And you just want to eat it all, don't you? Give me some more. Another helping? Yeah. This is wonderful. Feast of fat things, Isaiah called it. Feast of fat things. No light food served here. Fat things. Wine on the lees. Unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. The glories, the beauties, the excellencies, more excellent knowledge. That's what you'll find when you come to Christ. More excellent knowledge. All this other stuff is so shallow. How can people put up with it? Bless God, we don't have to. Come to a feast. And it's just as hungry as you are is how much you can fill up on. However hungry you are is how much you can have. It's our own fault we go away empty. It ain't the table. A true seeker will find. And look at this. Verse 5 says, and the sitting of his servants. What are you all doing right now? What are you doing? Sitting. You're not jumping and shouting and carrying.
Why would anybody want to say anything?
Except amen.
Huh? Why would anybody want to do any talking when Solomon's about to speak? The only thing I can think of is they've never heard Solomon before. Anybody ever heard Solomon? Put my hand over my mouth. Sheba may have thought she knew something when she came in. Probably did. When she heard Solomon, she didn't say anything other than, oh, help me, help me. That's all she could say. Tell me, teach me. She heard Solomon. So they're all sitting, listening to Solomon. See that? Sitting. And the attendants of his minister, verse 5. The attendants of his minister. That's the leading servants and their apparel. The leading maids and servants, waiters and so forth. You know, if you come into the true church, you'll observe the way in which the leading men and women conduct themselves. You know that? Yes, you will. Yes, sir. Those seeking the truth, it will make an impression on them. They're not flippant. They're not foolish. They don't look like they came from a ball game. They're serious. They're sober. I want to tell you, the Baldwins back there were impressed with one man when they first started coming here. There was one man that made a real impression on them, and it wasn't me. It was Joe Parks. Standing back there at that door, quiet strength exuding from that man. Serious, sober, a man, leader. That's what you'll find in God's church everywhere. Not a bunch of fools, not a bunch of flippant, careless fools, but men. Men who are men, and women who are women. That's what you'll find. And his cupbearers. Look at verse 5. It says, his cupbearers. You notice his cupbearers. These were the butlers. See that? The king back then had some choice servants called butlers, cupbearers, men which they weren't like these these little measly fellows, shriveled up fellows you see in the movies to some old English lord, you know, that little bitty. No, these fellows were the best. They were the best, the king's best men. And Sheba observed these butlers that waited on the king. That's what they were doing. That's who they were serving. That's who they were ministering to. That's the cup they bore, the king's cup. The king's wine in it. And let me ask you, what of all the true men which God has used over the years? True men. Abraham. Now, there's a man. Joseph. Huh? What about him? That's the king's cupbearer. Moses. David. Elijah. Isaiah. Jeremiah. Henry. Scott. Men. You can look up to. Follow. What are they doing? Bearing the king's cup. That's all they're doing. Not standing back at the door. Bearing the king's cup. Preachers of the gospel. Prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers. They're not like these idiots today. I hate them all. I hate them. They despise them. That's what Jeremiah said. God's men are true men. Cupbearers. Those that go bearing the blood of Christ. Bearing the message of Christ crucified. They do nothing more and nothing less. Blessed are you if you've seen those cupbearers. But above all, the thing that made the greatest impression on Sheba. She saw all of that. But the thing that made the most lasting impression upon Sheba, the thing which influenced her most of all, the thing that finally reduced her to nothing. Look at it, verse 5. She saw his ascent. She saw Solomon walking up the steps to his throne. Solomon, the greatest man on earth. She saw him walking up those steps in his royal apparel and go through the door, the only one who could, of the house of the Lord. His ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, and it says then there was no more spirit. She saw his dignity, his power, his glory, his regal bearing, his royal honor and majesty. And she may have come in the beginning thinking she was something, thinking she was a queen, thinking she was rich, thinking she knew something, thinking she had something to offer Solomon, when she finally saw him ascend to the greatest throne on earth. I'm nothing, she thought. I know nothing. I have nothing. I am nothing. Now, there's a man. There's wisdom. There's honor. There's glory. Behold, a greater than Solomon. You try to preach this without hollering. If you see him, you try. Can't do it. It's impossible. In the presence of such a great one as this. You see? And anyone who's truly seen Christ high lifted up in his glory, his train, Isaiah 6 says, his train filled the temple. And the angels, the seraphim, said one to another, holy, holy, holy. and the earth trembled in his presence in the post of the door. What did Isaiah say when he saw all that? Woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I've seen the Lord. Someone has seen Christ. They've seen Christ. All who see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, His royal person, His power, His majesty, His honor, His glory, and above all, they see His ascension up on the Calvary's tree for them. Didn't have to. Not an offer. It's a substitutionary work. A voluntary, substitutionary, satisfactory work on Calvary's tree on their behalf. On behalf of thieves and harlots and publicans. When they see that, and then when they see Him risen and ascended into glory and exalted at the right hand of His majesty on high, there'll be no more spirit left in them. No more brag. No more self-righteousness. No more self-exaltation. No more talk of self at all. All talk of a greater than self. People, this is the best message you've ever heard. We're talking about someone who's it's unlawful to speak of. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above. Gratefully sing His power, His love. A greater than Solomon. No more spirit in her. And this is what you'll say with Sheba, verse 6. This is what Sheba said after seeing all that, seeing him. She was a broken woman now. And she said in verse 6, she said to the king, this is her confession to him. She wasn't saying this to anybody but him. It's true. Everything I heard is true. It's a true report. This is what everybody who really sees Christ and hears from Him will say. True! It's all true concerning Him. Is God sovereign? That question will be answered if you see Him. Ask Sheba, is Solomon, is he a sovereign king? You had never seen him, had you? She hears somebody saying, I don't think Solomon has all that powerful. Oh, no, I think if his servants, they can do whatever they will. I think his servants had a free will. So Sheba said, you've never seen Solomon, have you? Obviously. You don't know Solomon, do you? Is he glorious? Is he all powerful? Does he do according to his will? Do his people do according to his will? If you ever see him, that'll all be answered. You know that? Jeanette, there'll be no argument. When a person meets the sovereign God of Scripture, there'll be no argument about election. Does he elect? Does he have the right to choose? You've never met him, have you? It'll all be answered when you see him. All be answered. You say it's true. Everything I heard was true. I didn't believe it before. Look at what she said. It's true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts, your work, and your wisdom, your person. However, verse 7, I believed not the words until I came. I didn't believe it until I came. Until I saw him from a sin. And neither will anyone. No one's going to really believe until no man, Christ said, can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw them. And this is the will of the Father, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him, I'll raise him up. I'll exalt him. If you believe not that I am he, You'll die in your sins, he said. And nobody's going to believe until they're brought by God, by his Spirit. I believed not until I came. And mine eyes have seen it. Verse 7, and behold, the half was not told. The half was not told. You know, somebody could try to tell you the gospel before you ever really hear it. Try to tell you. And that's good. You may, oh, that's interesting. Sounds good. That's reading tapes. Oh, none of that is sufficient. None of that. To try to tell people one-on-one is just not it. I just didn't get it. Until Christ comes in power through his word personally and speaks, and you see his glory through the preaching of the gospel personally. You see it and you'll say, why didn't somebody tell me? They tried. And Brother Henry and people come to you and say, did you see that? Look at this. Yeah, you've been telling them that for years. You've been telling them that they didn't see it for themselves. But now they see it. Got to see it for yourself. Got to see Christ for yourself. Behold, the half was not told me. And it still hadn't been told, folks. This is the best message you've heard to this point, but it still had not half of it. She said, your wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. So much higher and more glorious than anybody was ever able to describe to me. And that's, I believe, with our reaction when we finally see him as he is someday in glory. We're going to say, I've never heard that before. We've heard Ephesians 2 preached how many times? As good as it can get. And we're going to hear it in glory and know as we've been known and know just exactly we were dead and now alive and how that God in Ephesians 1 has abounded toward us in wisdom and prudence, making known unto us the mystery of his will, gathered together in one all things in Christ. We're going to say, I never heard that before. It's going to be like we never heard it before. When Christ himself speaks it, the half has not been told. Half. Verse 8 and 9, let's hurry. She said, all happy are thy men. Your men are happy people. Blessed. Happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, that hear thy wisdom. Happy, blessed, truly, joyful, happy are those who sit and hear the gospel. There's not a happier, more blessed people on earth. There may be richer people, but no one richer in peace and joy and contentment and mercy and grace and love and, oh my, happy are thy people, thy servants which stand continually before thee, those who are found in him, not having their own right. Oh, they're blessed. You know that? They're blessed. Those that hear thy wisdom over and over again. Those lowly sinners that keep coming and hearing about the high Savior. Blessed be the Lord thy God. Verse 9, I like this. Blessed be the Lord thy God which delighted in thee. Yes, Christ is the only begotten, well-beloved Son of the Most High God whom he delights in. He set him on the throne of Israel because the Lord loved Israel forever. He made him to be king. Because the Lord set his love on his people, he made the King of Kings their king and Lord of Lords. Oh, to do judgment and justice, to perform justice for them, justify them, whereby they could not be justified by the law. They couldn't do it, impossible, but not with this man. And it says, he gave the king 120 talents of gold and spices, very great store and precious. This is a picture of gratitude. You know, when the Lord blesses a person, they'll be generous. They want to give. She wanted to give to the cause of, though Solomon didn't need it, she, in gratitude and appreciation and thankfulness and just, she didn't need that anyway. What did she need with that? Give it to Solomon. She was just thankful. She gave, freely gave. She gave of herself first, didn't she? She went a great length to get there. Gave herself and then of her substance to him. The king's cause and admiration and appreciation. But wait a minute. Hold on here. Hold on. Are you going to outgive Solomon? She going to go away empty? She got what she needed. Wisdom. Answers. You going to outgive Solomon? Look at verse 13. So she, King Solomon gave unto the queen. King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, the one thing needful. He needed her heart answered. Needed wisdom that she didn't have. She get that? Look at this. Whatever she had, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. Oh, now, wait a minute. How much, Nancy, do you reckon she went home with? She gave 120 talents. She got 1,200 talents going back. No, 12,000, a hundredfold. The king's royal bounty? The king's royal bounty. You can't outgive the king. No, sir. I'd like to see somebody try. I'd like to see him try. I have seen a few try. They'll tell you. Can't outgive him. Comes back a hundredfold. His royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country. All right, let me ask you a question. What'd she go home talking about? From that day forward, somebody asked her, oh, you've been to the Holy Land, haven't you? What'd she talk about? Solomon. And all those who've really seen Christ, he's the topic of their conversation. If they've seen him, everything else just fades into insignificance, doesn't it? The building, did you see the temple? Yeah, it was nice. But Solomon. Solomon. And I'll tell you, this is what he told. I can't tell it. You need to go see for yourself. But he won't take me. Oh, yes, he will. But it's a long way. Don't let that stop you. It'll be worth it. But it'll be costly. Look at this. Didn't cost me a thing. I hope the Lord bless that. For his glory. All right, let's sing in closing, Majestic Sweetness. Verse 52, or number 52. Number 52, Majestic Sweetness.